If you haven't, if you're interested in getting CDs from the last several weeks, last week's service, we have a in that middle section over there, free of charge. They're over there, and the title was on there for the last 3 or 4 weeks, and or you can just go on our website and get them as well for free. You can download them. Amen. Thank God for modern technology. Amen. We can go back and hear the word again. Praise God. I want to ask you a question this morning. We're going to start a new series. And I want to ask you this question. I'm going to go this very orderly here to get your mind stirred up here. You don't have to answer this out loud, but where do you live? Okay? Where do you live? We'll start out with, you know, when you zoom out, you know, if you have a GPS or like I do on my phone and stuff, you can zoom out and you can see the whole United States. Okay? I got a weather app on my phone, you know, that you can see the radar and the weather and all this kind of stuff. And I guess we're kind of weather buffs, Lynn and I, you know. But you can zoom out and see the whole United States and see where the rain is and all this kind of stuff. Or you can zoom in and you can go to where your house is. Okay? So when I ask the question, where do you live, we would start out, what country do you live in? All right, that's the big picture. If you go a little closer, what state do you live in? Number three, you zoom in a little bit more, what county do you live in? You go a little closer, what town do you live in? Now let's get real personal. What street do you live on? And let's go to the ultimate closeness here. What is your address? Okay? So you see it starts out here. I'm setting a picture here. You got the which country you're from, what state you live in, what town you're from, what street you live on, and then your personal address. Has anybody ever done that before where you zoom in and see your address on Google or something like that? You ever done that before? Now, I wanted to say that to say this. What if I told you that there was a place that you can live in with God where sin doesn't have any dominion over you? This is your address here. Where sin doesn't have any dominion over you, where sickness melts like a snowball in the August sun. Amen. Where your needs are supernaturally supplied. This is a picture of where God wants us to live. A place where you live in divine protection every day. Divine provision, divine protection. A place where you experience God's favor on a daily, regular basis. Amen. This is the place where God wants us to live. Now, you know your personal address, where you live, what country you're from, and all this kind of stuff. But we're not here to tell you that. We're here to show you where you are to live. And you want to know what that place is? It's called the faith zone. Say the faith zone. Faith zone. That's what that is right up there. We are to live in the faith zone. We were designed by God to live in this zone all the days of our life. Now, go to the book of Job, chapter 1. If you're not sure where it's at, table contents. Or the screen. Okay. All right. Let's say I'm living in the faith zone. Okay, I'm really excited about this. This is a brand new series that we're starting today. Now notice, here's something the devil saw in Job. And by the way, Job was one of the oldest books in the Old Testament. You'll find his name even in the book of Genesis, okay? Job goes back a long, 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 long way. Now Job didn't have any revelation, there's no revelation of the devil and things, demons, evil spirits back then. He didn't even know there was a devil. Okay? That's why he made statements like, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. He was talking about God. He didn't even realize there was a devil or demons or evil spirits. But here's something. And Job was an upright man who walked with God, right? And it says in verse 9, and I want you to see this. This is something that the devil, Lucifer, said to God about Job. I love this. Now, it's not very often that you quote the devil in church. But, you know, it's usually red letters or something like that. But I want you to know, this is a true statement, you know. And he said this to the Father about Job, and he said this. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught or nothing?" Verse 10, here's what I want you to see. "Hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he has on every side, and has blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land?" Say the faith zone. Okay. In the faith zone, when we live in the faith zone, these things become a great possibility for us. And here's what the devil said. He said, "My God," he said, "you've made a hedge." Now, what does that mean? That means a wall of protection. Amen? God's going to build a wall. Mexico's not going to pay for it. Amen? God's going to pay for it. Are you with me now? Amen? A wall of protection, a hedge of protection. And this is what the devil said to the Lord. He said, "You've blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land." Now, I'm going to bring up the Amplified. If you would, bring up the Amplified of this same verse right here, because it brings it out here in a clearer measure here. It says, "Then Satan answered the Lord, 'Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not put a hedge of protection around him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands and conferred prosperity and happiness upon him, and his possessions have increased in the land.'" Isn't that a clear picture? Was that true about Job? Okay. Now, we'll talk in a minute here about how he lost that, but then in the end, he got it back double. Okay. Josh, bring up the Message translation of this same translation here. I want you to see. Sometimes it helps, you know, if you have a Bible program where you have different translations, is to look up a scripture or two in a few different translations to get a real clear picture of what the Lord's saying. Okay? Now, in the Message, it says, Satan retorted, So do you think Job does that out of sheer goodness of his heart? Why, no one has ever had it so good. This is what the devil's saying about Job. No one has ever had it so good. You pamper him like a pet. Make sure nothing bad ever happens to him or his family or his possessions. Bless everything he does. He can't lose. Now, how would you like the devil to say that about you? Okay? Now, I will say this. Now, most people, when they talk about Job, and I've heard through the years, you know, people have said this to me, when they're going through a rough time, which we all go through rough times, but none of us have ever had it like he did. What that man went through, I can tell you, we've never been through that, not even on the worst day of our lives. But Job had a problem, and his problem was he had a problem with being fearful and afraid. And there was a door open in his life. And the scripture says in Ecclesiastes that if a hedge be broken, the serpent shall bite him. And I think in Ecclesiastes chapter 10. And Job chapter 3, and you don't have to turn there, but I'm just going to refer to it. But Job chapter 3, verse 25, Job said, "The thing that I've greatly," talking to the Lord, he said, "the thing that I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which I was afraid of has come unto me." Amen. Now, he had a wall of protection, but that wall came down. And the wall came down because Job's fear, he wasn't just a little afraid. He says, "I was greatly afraid." Now, what was he afraid? He was afraid that his sons were going to curse God and backslide. That was a fear. Now, sometimes that can be a real fear for people. Afraid of their sons and their daughters, what they're going to do, what they're not going to do, you know. They might live on the other side of the country, but you're concerned for them. Well, being concerned for somebody never got them saved. Being concerned for someone never got them healed. Being worried for someone never got them healed. Amen? And so the thing that Job greatly feared came upon him. So the hedge was broken down, and then disaster and destruction came in, and it's very clear from the book of Job who did that. You know, there's a tornado that came through and wiped out some cattle and stuff, and fire from heaven fell, lightning, you know, and destroyed some of his livestock, you know, and it was very clear who did that. It was the devil. Okay? Now, fast forward, you know, you'll find out that Job began to cry out to God for wisdom and revelation, and the Lord told him, he says, here's what your problem is, you know? And one of the things was his tongue. And the Lord, Job said this, he says, teach me to hold my tongue and show me wherein I have erred. Okay? How many of you know you can open the door to fear by what you say? By what you say. On the contrary, in the flip side of that, you can open up the door to faith by what you say. Faith will bring God on the scene. Fear will bring the devil on the scene. Fear will manifest Satan's presence in your life, the things that you don't want. But faith will bring God on the scene, heal your body, restore you. I'm telling you, put your foot on a rock. Amen? And we're talking about living in the faith zone. Praise God. So this is a true story about Job, that God said, I blessed all the work of his hands and his everything that he has. And he's the richest. He was the richest man in the East. And you know who did that? God did that. Amen. Now you'll find in the book of James that it says, the Bible says, James, the half-brother of Jesus, said this. He says, consider the end of Job, not the beginning. Consider the end of Job, how that God was very merciful, pitiful. Amen. And the Bible says that God, when he prayed, when Job prayed for his friends and he repented, it says that God gave Job twice as much, double what he lost. That's our kind of God. Amen. So when someone says, you know, I just feel like Job today, you know, well, get ready for a double blessed, you know. But it's interesting because James says, consider the end of Job, not the beginning. Now, again, Job didn't have any revelation that there was a devil or demons or evil spirits. This is one of the oldest books in the Bible. But the thing that we can learn from him, because Job even said, oh, that my words were written in a book. And the Lord said, okay, we'll do that. So other people can learn. And there's a lot of things that are, you know, taken out of context about Job and so forth. But let me tell you this, the book of Job is very clear about fear that opened up the door for the enemy to come in to his life. Fear will cause things to come into your life that you don't want. Are you with me now? I was talking to a friend of mine, a minister, traveling minister friend of mine, that not a pastor, but he's a traveling minister. And someone, a friend of his from another church, asked him to do their wedding ceremony. They were going to get married, and so they asked this friend Joe, his name was Joe Morris actually, he still travels and teaches, to do their wedding. So he agreed to do that even though he wasn't a pastor. So he set up a time where he met with them and went through some things and had some counseling and things like that. And the wife-to-be, the fiance, the wife-to-be, said something to him in this session that they had for premarital counseling and so forth. And she said this, she goes, you know, I just have this strange fear that I'm going to sprain my ankle or break my ankle before I get married. And he looked at her and he says, because he's coming from our background, you know what I mean, Word of Faith and so forth. And he says, well, ma'am, you can trust God for protection. That won't happen. Didn't think twice about it. They met again a second time. And so she brought it up again. So it's something that's in her, something she greatly feared. It was on the inside of her. She brought it up again. I just have this fear that I'm going to either break my ankle or sprain my ankle or something. I'm not going to be able to walk down the aisle on my wedding day. And so, you know, this is getting to be a pattern here. So my friend, and I talked to him. This wasn't hearsay. I heard him tell me this personally. It wasn't through the grapevine. And he said, ma'am, did you realize that you're yielding to fear? Well, this happened three particular times that they met. She kept saying the same thing. She never dealt with that fear. Never dealt with that fear. So, you know exactly what's going to happen. Right before the week she got married, she sprained her ankle and it was so swollen that she had to have help going down the aisle. Huh? Someone said, well, the Lord was showing her and preparing her. No. Her fear opened up the door for the enemy. You see, God does not work apart from faith any more than the devil works apart from fear. They're just opposites. Fear is faith in the devil's ability to hurt you and to harm you. But faith in God is faith in His ability to keep you and to sustain you and to uphold you. And I'm telling you what, your faith not only save you, your faith will heal you, your faith will deliver you, your faith will set you free, your faith will put money in your bank account. Yes. Amen? Because when we live in the faith zone, now I saw a picture of this when I was meditating, when the Lord gave this to me. How many are familiar with football? Or like football? Okay. Now, in the game of football, you have obviously you have a football field. Okay? And how many yards are there? 100 yards. Amen? And all right. Now, how many of you know that there are boundaries in the football field? And so, in order for things to, for plays to be legal and to count, they has to be in the realm of the zone of the football field. Now, I don't know, you probably have too, but I've seen many times where there's been potential really good football plays where a guy will, the quarterback will come back, you know, and he's looking for his tight ends or wide receivers, and he'll throw to the guy on the sideline, you know, and he'll jump up and he'll come down, but just there's that much of his foot is out of bounds. And so now they do instant replay and they say, well, he had about that much, he was out of bounds. So it wipes it out. It's null and void, right? It's nullified. The play doesn't count. And I've seen guys that got so excited that had on the defense had an interception and they ran the other way down with the ball and they're trucking down the field, you know, and they're running down the sideline and didn't even realize that part of their foot stepped out of bounds, you know. But they just kept running. They ran into the zone and threw the football down only to go back where he went out of bounds. How many know what I'm talking about? And so for things to be done correctly on the football field, it has to be within the boundaries. Okay? And for us to receive God's fullness of His best, we have to do things in the zone of faith. And faith is so important, isn't it? Praise God. Go to Luke chapter 18. I want to show you something here. Jesus is coming back for us, but He's coming back and He's looking for something. Jesus is coming back and He's looking for something. Look at verse 7. It says, and God shall not, now this is a parable here that Jesus is talking about. He said, and shall not God avenge His own elect, which cried day and night unto Him through, though they bear, excuse me, long with Him, the next verse. I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. This is talking about people crying out to God. God's going to avenge us speedily. But notice this. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man, who is that? Jesus, right? When the Son of Man cometh, He's coming back, shall He find faith on the earth? Shall He find faith on the earth? Is God looking for something in the earth right now?
Yes.
What is He looking for? He's looking for faith. Because when He finds faith, that's precious to God. Amen? That's precious to God. And let me tell you something. Every one of you in this room, you have faith. You know that you do. You know, when Jesus was talking to Thomas, you remember when He first appeared to His disciples and He wasn't there. See, doubters always miss out. He appeared to the rest of the disciples. Like, the only one that wasn't there is Thomas. Doubters will always miss out. They're always at the wrong place at the wrong time. And the disciples told Thomas, they said, we've seen the Lord. Oh, yeah, we've seen the Lord. He says, I'm not going to believe it until I can see it and feel it and so forth. Remember that? Well, the next day, Jesus appears to them, except Thomas is there this time. This is in John chapter 20. And the first thing that Jesus said was, hey, Thomas, come here. He's called him on the carpet. See, just because you don't see Jesus doesn't mean He doesn't hear you. Amen. He says, reach hither your finger, thrust it into my side, touch my hands. And so he did. He went over there. He felt his hands and he felt his side where the spear was, you know, and he says, my Lord, my God, you know? He's having a Holy Ghost conniption right there. My Lord, my God. You know. And Jesus said this, Thomas, blessed are they that haven't seen yet believe. Do you think he knew what happened the day before? You better believe it. See, Thomas made a choice. He says, I will not. It's not that he couldn't. He says, I choose. I will not believe unless I can see it with my eyes and feel with my hands that he's been raised from the dead. He said, I choose not. There's a difference between you can't and you won't. Right? He chose not to believe that what the disciples said. He was basically calling them a liar. That's what he did. So here Jesus appears in their midst. He says, come here, you know. But that statement, he says, blessed are they that have not seen yet believe. How many of you here have ever seen Jesus personally? I'm not talking about a painting. I'm talking in the flesh. How many here have ever seen Jesus personally? Okay, I don't see any hands. How many of you believe with all your heart that he is Lord? Raise your hand. Well, according to the Lord Jesus Christ, you are blessed. In fact, you wouldn't even be in this chair right now this morning if you didn't, subconsciously, you if you didn't believe in God, you wouldn't even be here. Notice there's no atheists in here today. They could be. Amen. But deep down inside you, you're here because you believe in God. You believe in Jesus. But the Lord said, you're blessed. You're blessed because you haven't seen, yet you believe. Okay? Now, you based your eternal destiny on that, wouldn't you? I mean, they couldn't beat it out of you with a baseball bat. They said, you're not saved. I said, no, I am. I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe he's the Son of God. I believe he was raised from the dead. And yet you haven't seen him with your physical eyes yet. But you know how many of you believe when you die, you're going to heaven. Okay? Now, you didn't have an angel appear to you and tell you that. God didn't appear to you. You believe the scriptures. You believe the word of God. In other words, you believe the word apart from your physical senses. That's the same way you receive blessings from God in any area of life. Blessed are they that have not seen yet believe. If you're believing for healing in your physical body, blessed are they that have not seen yet believe. Because listen, I know, I've been there and done that. You get the doctor's report. You get the blood test. You get this test. You get that test. Well, what does the word say? Huh? What does the Bible say? That's the acid test right there. It's not what the report says. It's not what the doctor's report says. It's what does God's word say? Who hath believed our report? My Bible says, who hath believed our report and to whom the arm of the Lord is revealed? Hallelujah. Amen. And that's believing with your heart apart from your five physical senses. You believe the word of God. Amen. Go to Hebrews chapter 11 for a minute here. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. We're talking about living in the faith zone. That is the place of great blessing. That is the place where we are to abide and we are to dwell. In fact, I'll go as far as to say it like this. You are never to leave that place. Now, you know where you leave physically. Now, all of you left your home or wherever you live this morning to come here. So physically, you're not in your home. But in the Lord, you never leave the faith zone. Wherever you go, you can be on any place on this planet and you can still be in the faith zone where that hedge of protection is round about you. Amen? I'm talking a wall of divine protection. Supernatural provision, supernatural protection. But notice in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So faith is what created this. Verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained the witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by being dead yet speaketh. Notice verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. And before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, you're going to see this phrase. We're not going to read the whole chapter here because of time. But you're going to see this phrase. In fact, it's over 20-some odd times, 20, 22 times, that in the book of Hebrews, some call this the the Hall of Faith. You know, we have the Hall of Fame, you know, for football, baseball, so forth. You know, the Hall of Fame. These are all the good dudes. These are people that performed well. Well, there's a Hall of Fame of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, and he says, by faith, so-and-so, by faith, so-and-so, by faith. And so you get this pattern here throughout the book of Hebrews chapter 11, by faith, Abraham, by faith, Noah, by faith, so forth and so on. And you're going to see this phrase like 20 sometimes, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. What's God trying to tell us? If you're going to get what you want, it has to be by faith. Are you with me now? By faith, through faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. So if you're going to get your salvation, you get it by faith. Amen. Now the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, it says that you are, verse 8, it says, for you are saved by grace through faith. You're not saved by faith, you're saved by grace. But faith is the doorway that opens it up. You see, grace, just bear with me now here. There's a lot in there. Grace is everything that God did for me and you in the person of Jesus Christ. Everything. That's grace. Well, how do you tap into grace? By faith. For by grace are you saved. How? Through faith. Grace is God's part. Faith is our part. Amen? Your salvation, grace gift. Your healing, grace gift. Your financial freedom, grace gift. How do we tap into that? By faith. We lay hold, say, yes, I believe that you did that for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's pretty good in this Presbyterian church. Amen? Amen. Some people consider the good news bad news. You mean I got to live by faith? Listen, if you want to fail, get out of faith. We don't want to fail. I've had enough. Listen, all of us have had enough failure in our lives. We don't need any more failure. We want the blessing. We want to walk in faith. Amen? And let me tell you something. The devil has tried so hard to get us out of faith, trying to shake us with bad news, all of us here, trying to shake us with bad news and fear and stuff like that. We have to just say, no. I'm stepping back here. I am going to stay in faith. Because when I stay in faith, that's when good things begin to take place. How many of you here, you've been tempted to get out of faith about things in your life? Tempted to doubt. We talked about that last week, how to deal when you're tempted to doubt. Okay? That comes to all of us. To the best of us. But we have a Lord that loves us and that cares for us and that will help us to stay the course and to stay in faith because that's where the blessing abides. Now, verse 6 of Hebrews 11 says this, but without faith it is impossible. Can you see that word impossible? By faith it is impossible to please Him. That's God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now, did you notice there in verse 6 that without faith it is impossible to please God? How do I please God? Faith. Remember when the Son of Man comes and we saw, shall He find faith in the earth? Well, what's another word for faith? Trust. I trust. Amen? You know, you can practice becoming a better truster in God. I know that's probably bad English. But you can become a professional at trusting God and casting your cares on the Lord. When I was a kid, my mother, dad, and my coaches used to say, you know, practice makes perfect. Okay? Now, I played a particular sport when I was younger. Okay? And I became extremely proficient at that sport. Very proficient at that sport. But if you wanted to find Keith, where was I? Oh, he's in the backyard. He's training. Okay? Because I would spend hours and hours and hours. I was this young, you know? And, you know, in my teens, 13, 14, 15, 16 years old, you know? And But it was a desire in my heart at that time. God changed that, thank God. Put his desires in my heart, you know, because that wasn't going to lead me anywhere. But I became extremely proficient at what I was doing in the sport, the field that I was in, because I spent literal hours. I mean, out in the freezing cold and snow and everything, I would spend hours perfecting that sport that I was involved with. Mm-hmm. Okay? And happened to be ice hockey, you know? And, you know, regardless of the sport. But I became very proficient at my shot and everything. I'm not bragging on me or anything, but I spent hours and hours and hours studying it, playing it, doing shots, doing this. My dad even got me a metal puck, a hockey puck, a metal puck. You know how heavy that thing was? About 2 pounds, you know. And I would take that thing and just, now you don't slap it because it'd break your stick, you know what I mean? But you would wrist it and just build up your wrist, okay? And the Lord showed me this yesterday. He said, Keith, do you remember when you were younger? He said, you became proficient at something because you practiced it over and over and over. Oh, yeah, I remember that, Lord. He said, I want you to become a professional in your faith. Become a professional in your faith. Not just a part-time faith person. You know, there's a lot of part-time faith people. The problem is when your back's up against the wall, you don't know where to go, you know. But when you practice trusting God and you practice casting your cares on the Lord, you practice doing that over and over. Practice makes perfect. You become proficient at doing these things. And that's why sometimes it's difficult, because we think things are just going to fall on us like ripe cherries off a tree and the blessings of God, when we're not praying like we should. We're not giving like we should. We're not serving God only when it's convenient. We only come to church when it's convenient. Well, we can't get the blessings of God to come on us like that when we treat it like it's a part-time thing. Are you with me now?
Amen.
We got to be serious about it. The Lord takes his covenant serious with us, and he wants us to abound with blessings. The Bible says the faithful shall abound with blessings. Praise God. I believe I'm looking at a group of faithful people that are hungry for God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So without faith, in verse 6, it's impossible to please God. So how are you going to please God? Lord, I trust you today. Now, you might be standing there and your knees are fellowshipping one with another. They're shaking back and forth. You might feel fear, but inside your heart, you say, no, I trust the Lord today. I trust you today, Father. I trust you today, Lord. Hallelujah. And when you practice trusting him, it becomes easier to do it. Now, I noticed that when I was involved in that sport that I was telling you about, things that were harder for other people became easy for me. Because it was almost like second nature, because when you do things thousands of times over and over again, okay? Some of the professional golfers, I think it was Tiger Woods, for example. He's not as good now as he was back in the day, but you know, there was a thing on him that, you know, he was very proficient at what he did, obviously, wasn't it? I mean, just people just like, how's he do that? Well, he would get on the golf course after he would train for hours, then he would go down and hit another 300 balls when it wasn't required. When everybody else left the course, when all the pros left the course, he said, I'm not done yet. He'd go down there and he'd drop 200 to 300 balls down there in the rough and in the sand and different things, and he would just keep chipping away, keep chipping away, keep chipping away, till his hands bled. Okay? Well, that didn't just come upon him. He worked it. He became diligent. He went the extra mile. Michael Jordan, back in the day, the greatest basketball player that ever lived, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I didn't even like basketball, but when he played, let me see what's going on here. You know what I'm saying? But the same thing about him, exactly what happened. He would go out there after their team, you know, after the, was it Chicago Bulls he played for, you know, they would have their training and so forth, and their practice sessions that they normally have. Well, he would go out there and spend another hour shooting for another hour, one ball after the other, shooting. And the thing, here's what I found out about him too. There was one shot that he was weaker on the certain side. The way he would shoot, he became proficient at that because he would, the part that he was weak in, the shot that he was weak in, that's all he did is he would train on that shot. And he became one of the best. Now, I can't say exactly what it was, but, you know, he began to train and train and train and train on the shot that wasn't that good. But after he trained and 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 kept day after day after day, he became extremely proficient. Amen? And that's why people's jaws fall open when they see him play, how he played. He made it look so simple. Hallelujah. Listen, when we practice doing God's word, we practice casting our cares on the Lord. When the first inkling of care that comes to you, worry comes to you, say, nope, that's not my care, Father. That's your care. I give that to you in Jesus' name. And you begin to pray. It's hard at first. But when you practice that, and you practice that, and you give it to Him, and you walk away, before you know it, the thing that was so hard for you becomes easier. It becomes easier. Because we're practicing the Word, doing the Word over and over again. Look at verse 7, Hebrews 11:7. We've got to wrap this up here. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of a righteousness by faith. Now, folks, it never rained yet. Hadn't rained yet. Not one drop. The earth was, there was a, water came up as a vapor out of the ground. Okay? It never rained, but God warned him about the coming destruction, impending doom that was about to take place, judgment upon the earth. And it took Noah 120 years to build the ark. Wow, what a building project. It took me 5 years to build that building. How about 120 years? By the time he's ready to get in the ark, part of the ark is prehistoric already. You know what I'm saying? It's like that dark wood down there. That's what I first started with, you know. But notice that what did he do? You know, and they found remnants. You know, the boat is over in that mountains of Ararat. It's still there. Okay, I don't have time to go into that, but I can tell you that it's there. You know, it's in the ground, of course. You know, but it's you don't find boats on the top of mountains. But it's exactly where God said it was, you know. But see, God told Noah, He said, build an ark. Build an ark. Well, you know what? When that judgment came, he was lifted above. That's a type of the tribulation. When judgment fell, where was Noah? Was he out there? No, everybody else was. But he was moved by God. He was moved in faith and he built himself an ark. It never rained before. But there came a day. And when Methuselah died, and his name meant, when he dies, it shall come. And they had a sign. They said, when Methuselah dies, the same year the flood came. Judgment came. It rained for 40 days and 40 nights. And the earth was covered. Nothing lived. Covered with water. And the only survivors were Noah and his wife and his kids. There was eight of them, eight souls. Think about that. The only survivors were Noah. So we all came out of Noah, didn't we? We said, well, we come out of Adam. Well, we came out of Noah because he was the only people. Noah and his wife and those, we're all related. Amen? Give your neighbor a high five. Amen? Amen? We're all related, aren't we? I'm going all over the place here. Dear God, stay on track, Pastor Keith. Well, you can see there's a pattern. We're not going to read the rest of the story here in Hebrews 11, but it says, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. And through faith and by faith, these things begin to take place. There are those of you in this room, you were healed by faith. You've been healed by faith. And you can stay healed by faith. You were saved by faith. You trusted in Jesus. And everything that we receive on this earth, and that's why people that don't understand these things look disparagingly on the subject of faith as if it's like taboo. Like, are you kidding me? You can't even please God without faith. It says if you're going to come to God, you must believe that He is. And that He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. You see, when I come before God, I have to first believe that He is. I can't see Him. But I have to believe that He is. Right? And that He's a rewarder. He's a rewarder. God's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. So is there a reward for diligent seekers? Man, when you get up and you pray and it feels so dry and the rain's out and the clouds are out and it just, oh, but you still go, you go for it. You say, I'm going to pray today no matter what. Amen. Man, I'm telling you, you're setting yourself up for a blessing. Because a lot of times people, Christian folks, they don't pray unless their back's up against the wall, unless it's convenient. But let me tell you something, there is a great blessing. And I feel the heart of God. There is a tremendous blessing in store for people that seek God on a daily basis. And you're setting yourself up for divine promotion in your life when you seek the Lord. Now, when I say that, I'm not talking about 3 hours a day, something like that. You know, you may or may not. But just taking time, even acknowledging God when you're driving to work and you're getting the car going down the road and you just talk to the Lord. Practice His presence, talking to Him. Practice His presence, speaking to Him. That's why I made mention of the fact there, after worship, you know, I asked the Lord the other day, I said, Lord, I just want more of Your presence. And I meant that, you know. And He said, well, why do you think I moved on the inside of you? Amen. How many of you live in a house with somebody, in a household with somebody? Okay, how many of you, you're close to them, right? They don't live inside you. And I'm close to Lynn. I'm close to Kelly and Josh. They don't live inside me. But God Himself lives, abides inside me, inside you. Wow. We got to wrap this up here. But go to the book of Habakkuk. Some call it Habakkuk, however you want to say it. Habakkuk, it's the Old Testament. I just want to look at a couple of scriptures. We're going to close here today. And I want you to see that this particular scripture and this pattern we're going to see here is the only way that you and I can please God is by faith. Praise God. Do you believe that? The only way. In fact, the only way to please each other is by faith. You know, if you're talking to someone, you're in the room right now and you're talking to the person next to you and they don't believe a word you say, do you think that's going to please them? No. But notice Habakkuk 2. Say, I love you, but I don't believe a word you say. Well, that will cause some offense, wouldn't it? When you love somebody, you believe and you have faith in their word, right? If they're going to do what they said they would do, how much more the Lord? But notice Habakkuk says this in verse 2, chapter 2, verse 4. It says, behold, my soul which lifted up is not upright in him. But notice this, but the just shall live by his faith. You see that? Okay, now let's go to the New Testament. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. We'll just go through these real quick. And here's the phrase. This phrase we're going to see four different times. For therein is, Paul said, therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Well, who's the just? What's the just? That's the righteous ones. That's you and me. It says we shall live by faith. Okay, Galatians 3, verse 11. Look at this. It says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, for it is evident, the just shall live by faith. One more scripture, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38. And we see this phrase once again, Hebrews 10 verse 38. And it says this, it says, now the just shall live by faith. Say, that's me. Now the just shall live by faith. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Now, it didn't say that God won't love you anymore, but it said God won't be pleased. Okay? I mean, God, there's nothing you can do to change God from loving you. He loves you regardless. Regardless. If you never served him another day of your life, he would still love you. Okay? However, I don't want to displease the Lord. Amen? If I choose to not trust God, if I choose to get in fear and worry and all this kind of stuff, let me put it to you like this. When I worry about anything, I'm actually slapping God in the face. Think of it in those terms. And I'm saying, you know, Lord, you're not big enough to handle this thing. So I'm going to take it on myself. Amen? Praise the Lord. When I worry, I thought the angels just appeared for a minute here. Praise the Lord. The heavenly choir. Amen. If I'm worried about something, I'm actually saying, if I'm worried about somebody or something, I'm actually saying, God, you're not big enough to handle this. Stop, think about that. Oh, Lord, I'm just so worried about the situation. Then, okay, God's saying, okay, so I can't handle this then, right? And I mean, you've never stumped God yet. Amen? Amen? Someone said, God never said, uh-oh. Now, if your CPA comes back to you and he says, did your tax return, but uh-oh. Amen? Your doctor comes after you just had a test. He says, by the way, uh-oh. You know, no. God has never said, uh-oh, what are we going to do here? He's never been in a situation where he's caught off guard, where he doesn't have a plan, he doesn't have an answer. There's no temptation taking you that such is common to man. God is able, with that temptation, to make a way of escape. God has a way of escape for you to get out of that mess, to get out of that trouble that you're in. But our eyes and our trust and our heart has to be upon the Lord for him to do that. And folks, you don't have to be a seminary graduate to do it. You can start today. A little child can just say, I trust, I trust, I trust. Amen. I trust the Lord. I trust him. And that's why 1 Peter 5 verse 7 says, casting all of your cares upon the Lord because he careth for you. Casting all of your worries, all of your anxieties, all of your concerns. Amen. Did anybody hear, you know, I'm not looking for a raise of hands, but did anybody here come in here today with a burden, with a care upon your heart? If you did, that burden is not meant to stay on you. No matter what it is, whatever happened in your life, what's happening in your life, that is not your burden. It belongs to God. It belongs to him. My burdens don't belong to me. They belong to Jesus. That's why he said in Matthew chapter 11, he says, come unto me, Jesus said, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and take my yoke upon you and learn of me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Amen? But if I'm walking around burdened down, you know, just loads of cares and burdens on my, how's that going to work out? How's that going to work out? How's that going to happen? You know, we're not in a place where God can really move. But if our burden is cast upon the Lord, if our cares are cast upon the Lord, then we're in a great position for him to come through for us. Psalm 55:22 says, cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. I think that's where Peter got that phrase, cast your care upon the Lord, for he careth for you. You know, I'll close with this, but did you know, right outside of Phoenix, Arizona, right outside of Phoenix, Arizona, there's a little town called Carefree, Arizona. Literally, it's there. It's right outside of north of Phoenix, I think it is, you know. Well, about 25 years ago, I was watching the Travel Channel. Just flipping through the channels, you know, there's 150 channels, nothing to look at. And there were, it was a Travel Channel or something like that, you know, and they showed different things, and they showed this guy, and I immediately turned it on. It was a guy that was up in an airplane, a little single-engine plane. And there was a guy that was interviewing him. And so he decided to do it was a gimmick, but people fell for it. And they said, he said this, he put out an advertisement. He said, you know, if you have any cares, if you have any worries, he said, send them in to me. And what he would do is he would put them in a sack, like a Santa sack. Okay? I saw this. I watched this myself. He said he would take those cares, those worries that people had, and I mean from everywhere, it would come in. A sack full of these papers with people's cares. And he said, I'll take them up over Carefree Arizona and I'll dump them out over Carefree Zone. And you know, the fallacy of that thing is people actually believe that that would take care of their cares. Isn't that something? And I mean, they showed the sack of paper and it was pretty significant. You know, all it did was litter the landscape. You can probably Google search that. You would see what I'm talking about. Okay? I don't know if he still does it or not. But what amazed me is that how many people actually believed that if they wrote that thing down and gave it to this fella, that somehow magically that's going to take care of their worries and their cares. Well, I've got good news for you. When I saw that, I thought, I thank God I don't have to send my cares into this fella here in Carefree, Arizona to take it up over the city and dump it out and pollute the landscape. I can take my care to God. Amen. And He is able to do something about it. Amen. Not only willing, He's able to do. He's able to fix that thing. I don't care what it is. What's your care? Is it your son? Is it your daughter? Is it your finances? Is it your future? Is it your job or lack thereof? That pretty much covers everything, doesn't it? What is it that tries to come on you, the daily care that tries to come on you? We need to give. I wasn't planning on doing this today, but we need to just once and for all, we need to say, Lord, I throw that. When I say cast my cares, it's the same Greek word that they cast their garments upon the mules in Jesus' time. They cast it. The fishermen cast in their nets. It was a violent word. It wasn't a mere throw. It was a violent toss, like a pitcher on the mound. Amen? Like when the Pirates play at 1:30 today. Okay? And the pitcher gets out there. He's not just tossing the ball down there. He'll hit it right out of the park. He's throwing 98 miles an hour, 100 miles an hour. You know, that's not a mere toss. That is a real cast. All right? Well, we don't want to just go, here, Lord. We want to say, Lord, here it is. I get rid of it right now. I give that care to you right now. I release it into your hands. And now it's time for you to go free, bless God. You take that care off. Hallelujah. Just like that jacket, you take it off. I'm free from care. I don't have the care of my body anymore. My body belongs to God. I don't have the care of my child. I don't have the care of my children. I don't have the care of my finances. My care is cast on the Lord, and it's in His hands. He is going to take care of it. It's not your job to save that husband or that wife. God's able to do that. Amen. You don't have to be Holy Ghost Junior. Spirit of God's never changed places with anybody else. Let's just take a moment and thank Him right now. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, yes. 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 Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Think about that care right now in your hand. Now, listen, we've done this before, but I feel a fresh anointing to do this again today. Sometimes we've got to go back to do Sometimes we go backwards and we have to go back and do what God told us to do. Think about the thing right now that is a care to you, is a burden to you. All of us have those things. As a spiritual practice right now, picture that care in your hands. Hold your hands out like this, right in front of you like this. Now picture, God gave us an imagination to use for His goodness, to help us, right? So picture in your hands that care or cares. It could be more than one thing. A thing that concerns you. And the Lord is saying to us today, cast that care upon me. Give that care to me. And as we give it to Him, His miraculous power is immediately going to go to fixing that. It's immediately going to go to working on that. Now, please do not try to figure out with your thinking, your brain, how this is going to work out. We're not to lean our own understanding. We're to trust in the Lord with all of our heart, and don't lean our own understanding. Don't try to figure out how the miracle is going to take place. Don't try to figure out how that body thing's going to change. Don't try to figure out how that daughter, that son's going to change, or that financial situation's going to change. Let God be God. So there it is in your hands, that care. Picture that in your hands right now. Are you ready to release it to the Lord? Are you ready for that burden to be lifted? Hallelujah. Now say this after me. Say, Dear Father, You told me in Your Word to bring every burden and every care to You. Right now, I cast and I give these cares over to You for You to work on them, for You to fix it, for You to make it right. I lift them up. Now, as you lift up your hands right now, the Lord is taking those cares right now. Envision His mighty hand just coming down and grabbing that out of your hand. All right, now He's lifted it up to heaven, and He's left you with freeness. Oh, hallelujah, lightness. Glory to God. And that's why we can lift our hands now and praise Him, because now the care is in the hand of the Lord. In the hands of the Lord. Thank You, Lord. For know this, saith the Lord, your cares never did belong to You in the first place. Satan's the one that brought them. The cares of this life, the pressures of this world, they all came from the devil, saith the Lord. But be bold and be quick to take any care, any concern, any worry, and quickly release it into My hands, saith the Lord. And you'll see a quick turnaround. Things that normally would take days and weeks and yea, even months will be sped up. Miracles in the turnaround, the 180, will take place much, much quicker. For you see, when things are in My hands where they belong, for I am the expert fixer. I am the expert provider. I am the expert Savior. So be quick to give your cares to Me. Be quick to give them to Me and walk in the newness of life and walk in the freedom and walk in the joy that I've called you to walk in. And as you do that, saith the Lord, you'll not be burdened down with cares and worries. And No. You'll be light. You'll be free. You'll be carefree. And a smile will be on your face and joy will be in your heart. And you'll know that My Father is working all things together. He's working on it even while I'm sleeping. Hallelujah. That's what the Lord said right now. Even while we sleep, He's working on it. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. My, my, my. Glory be to God. Glory to God. Well, it's good to be carefree, isn't it? Praise the Lord. We can smile and be happy and be glad because our Father's working on it. Amen. Praise God. Let's all stand up and bless the Lord, and we'll go ahead and dismiss today. Father, we bless us. We bless you because you bless us with your word today, Lord. We receive from you today. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord. There's someone here that's, you've had some trouble swallowing. There's been some type of a discomfort, obstruction, whatever, just in your throat area. And the Lord's touching that right now. The Lord's touching that right now. He's healing that right now. It could be your esophagus, your throat area, whatever that is. The Lord's healing that right now. Someone else, the back of your neck. The back of your neck has been giving you some issues, giving you some troubles. Jesus is healing that right now. Jesus, the Son of God, is healing that right now. I release that in the atmosphere. I release that in this place in the name of Jesus. Your neck is healed right now. Just begin to move it. Begin to move it around. Free, free, free. Freedom, freedom, freedom. Someone else, thank you, Lord. Someone else is having some irritation in your eyes. Some irritation in your eyes. Right now, the Holy Spirit's clearing that up right now. Just clearing it up right now. No more irritation. You won't have to use those drops anymore. Hallelujah. Ha, ha, ha. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Someone else, something on your scalp, God is healing that right now in the name of Jesus. God is healing that right now. Whatever that issue is, He's healing it right now. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I was fixing on clothes in there. My goodness, and the Lord just stepped right in here. Let's thank Him. His presence is here. Amen. When His presence shows up, the glory shows up. He's healing. He's ministering. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, Father. Mendicasis. Mendicasis. Okay, thank you, Lord. Now, as we leave here today, let this week be a different week than what you've had up to this point. The purpose in your heart this week, I'm going to seek God. If it's the last thing I do, I'm going to seek God this week. I'm going to put Him first. I get up in the morning. I'm going to spend some time with Him. Now, you don't have to, just start out where you're at. Even if it's for a few minutes, you spend time with God. You pray and you talk to Him. He loves to talk with you. He enjoys it more than anything else. To talk with Him, to fellowship with Him. And you watch how this, you watch how the week goes. You start putting the Lord first. Amen. Don't put Him last. Put Him first. First. Say first. When you put Him first, I'm telling you, everything else is going to line up. Your business deals, your whatever you're dealing with, God will line up the rest. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else will be added unto us.